Hey friends, Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. His incarnation, life, death, and resurrection redeemed us from sin and death, making a way for us to become children of God and receive a heavenly inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades. That's not just an amazing story. It is truth and life to those who believe. I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this journey of faith. And I am delighted to welcome you to the Her God Story podcast. We have just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus and all that means for us. It's tempting to quickly move past the celebration and immerse ourselves in everyday life again. There's always so much to do, but instead, let's linger here a bit. And as we linger, we'll look at how Jesus' resurrection impacted the lives of some of the women who knew him best. As we do, I think you'll be impacted too. Now, you probably know that by his heavenly Father's leading, Jesus chose 12 men to be his disciples. Those he invited close, traveled and spent time with, explained confusing teachings to, and relied on in many, many ways. But there was also a group of women who traveled with Jesus and his disciples. And they provided the generous financial support for Jesus and the ministry. The Gospels of Mark and Luke mention their care and support for Jesus. They were all set free by him in some way. Now, Luke 8, verses 1 through 3 tells us that a group of women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases traveled with Jesus. He cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene, setting her free from torment and pain. Joanne, the wife of Cusa, manager of Herod's household, as well as Susanna and others, were also among that group, and they were privileged to have a front row seat to many of Jesus' teachings and miracles. They saw his humanness and his divinity as he interacted with them, with his disciples, and with the many desperate people coming to him for healing, deliverance, truth. They were no doubt also aware of the growing hostility that many religious leaders felt toward Jesus. They heard him talk about his death and resurrection, but at the time they didn't comprehend what he was saying. How could they? After all, they had seen or at least heard how Jesus brought several people back to life, including Lazarus, who'd been in the grave 4 days. How could anyone kill Jesus? He was the Messiah, wasn't he? But then it happened. Jesus was arrested, beaten, tried, and sentenced to death. And in spite of his power, his divinity, he allowed it all. I am sure they were hoping, even expecting him to come down from the cross, so were utterly devastated when he died. If you've ever lost a loved one or close friend, you can understand a little of their bewilderment and grief. They stayed by Jesus, even in his death, and followed Joseph of Arimathea to the tomb where Jesus was buried. But since it was Sabbath, when no work could be done, Jesus' body was not wrapped properly for burial. So these women planned to come back after the Sabbath and make sure it was done right. Then they went home to mourn and reconsider their beliefs. Maybe Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Maybe he was simply a powerful prophet pointing the way, as so many had done in the past. But when Sabbath was over, early the next morning, the women headed back to the tomb with burial spices. Drawn by the love they had for him and had felt from him, it was likely a long walk, but by early light, they arrived to discover the huge stone placed in front of the tomb had been moved. Imagine their confusion as they crept inside and realized Jesus' body was not there. Who would do such a thing to the body of their beloved teacher, their prophet? While they were standing around wondering what was going on, 2 angels appeared. Luke 24:5 in the NIV says, "In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. As they lay trembling on the ground, they were told that Jesus had risen and was reminded of what they heard Jesus say about being crucified and rising on the 3rd day. And yeah, now they kind of remember what he said. But they were still grieving, confused, and frightened, not fully comprehending what was happening. The angels send the women off to tell the disciples Jesus is alive. Matthew 28:8 says they hurried away, still afraid, but also filled with joy. And verses 9 and 10 says, suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." It doesn't say how much time they spent with Jesus as they worshipped at his feet, but it was long enough for their fear to subside and for them to fully realize the truth of Jesus' resurrection. Can you imagine? Now, remember, Jesus' disciples did not know any of this yet. Jesus first told his faithful female followers that he had risen. They were the first to see him and worship at his feet. The men were still grieving and probably afraid they'd be arrested and crucified too. So can you imagine the scene as these women burst into the place where the disciples were holed up? In my mind, I see them all talking at once, crying and laughing and hugging each other. They were a mess. It's no wonder the disciples did not immediately believe. Yes, Jesus eventually appeared to them too, but women like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and others, they knew Jesus was alive. They had seen him. They had heard him. They had touched him. And he had commissioned them to tell the others. Now, let's ponder that for a minute. Jesus entrusted the greatest news of all time to women. This news wasn't for them to hoard or lord it over others, but to freely and joyfully share. Some people may think that the Bible undervalues or even teaches oppression of women. Nothing could be further from the truth. Throughout Scripture, God esteemed women, and when Jesus was on earth, he set women free, healing them, delivering them, inviting them into his circle, commissioning them to share the good news. Let's also consider how gracious and kind Jesus was when he appeared to them. They had been through emotional whiplash. They were already afraid, so he spoke kindly to them. When he showed up, he calmed their fears first. Then he gave them purpose. Jesus' resurrection gives us purpose too. As you thought about and celebrated Easter, what were you feeling? Maybe you were a little confused because of stuff going on in your life that you did not expect or think should happen. Maybe you're disillusioned by that too. Maybe you're afraid by something you don't fully understand in the world, in the Bible, something that you heard at church or somewhere else. You want to believe, but there's a hesitation. Maybe you are overflowing with joy and don't know how to fully explain it. Maybe it is something completely different. But wherever you are, whatever you're feeling, God wants to meet you there with exactly what you need. If you're confused, God wants to give you wisdom to understand. Just ask him. If you're disillusioned, God wants to give you faith. If you're afraid, God wants to give you peace. And if you're filled with joy, he wants to give you so much more. And then God wants to give you purpose, his purpose. And that should not be a scary thing. After Jesus gave the women and his disciples purpose, direction, the Great Commission, he then empowered them to fulfill it. Acts 1 and 2 tell us that 50 days after the resurrection, the disciples, Mary the mother of Jesus, along with the other women and many others, were together praying when the house they were in was filled with the sound of a mighty wind. Tongues of fire appeared on their heads, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were empowered to fulfill the purpose God had for them. God wants to empower you too. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God's empowerment for us today is the same too. And we need the Holy Spirit's empowerment in our lives to fulfill the purposes of God. We cannot do it on our own. We must have God in us and working through us. In 1 John 14:12 and 13, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son." We must ask. Jesus will answer, and God will be glorified. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 tell us that when we believe in Jesus, he gives the Holy Spirit to identify us as his own. Romans 8:11 says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 11 tell us the Holy Spirit gives us special abilities, special gifts that empower us to serve the Lord. The disciples needed a mighty display of God's power at that point to overcome any lingering fear or doubt. They prayed and asked God for the promised Holy Spirit, and God answered. So when Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in other tongues, other languages that they did not know before, they had the ability to share the good news about Jesus with people from many different nations in their own languages. God knows you. He knows what you need. And if you believe that Jesus is Lord and follow him, the Holy Spirit lives in you already. Just ask for the spiritual gifts and empowerment you need to fulfill God's purposes in your life. He loves to answer that prayer. Let me take a moment and pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. You gave him to be the perfect sacrifice to cleanse us from our sin so that we can be part of your family and have that heavenly inheritance of eternal life with you. Thank you also for sending Holy Spirit to live in us and empower us to live our lives in a way that is worthy of the calling you have for us. Father, I ask you to give each of these dear listeners special gifts that will enable them to fulfill your unique purposes for them and fulfill Jesus' words in John 14 by leading us into greater works than he did, all for your glory. Let them experience healing, deliverance, and freedom in their own lives, and give them faith to follow you to minister those things through them as well, to allow you to minister those things through them as well. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. Watch for the next episode of Her God Story to hear how Kathy Pollock experienced the amazing love of God in her and working through her. Check out our show notes at hergodstory.org for scriptures, links, and other information. There you can also get a free 6-week devotional that you can download on Women of the Bible, or purchase the 12-week devotional on Women of the Bible for just $12, knowing that all the proceeds will go to our widow and orphan fund. We love to pray with you on our 24/7 prayer and text line. Give us a call or text anytime at 855-459-CARE or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. And now, dear friends, I bless you from Ephesians 3, verse 20. May the Lord do immensely more for you than you could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within you.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.